The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Why did you answer their prayers but not ours?
Coming up, two families faced with tragedy and struggles ask the tough questions.
Because where do you go when God says no? What happens when you're devastated with God, when you have prayed and you have believed and you've done the checklist like we did?
Is this a consequence? Is my cancer a consequence of all my rebellion, of all my disobedience, and now this is my punishment?
Where do you go when God says no? Next.
Welcome to Life Today. I am Randy Robinson. This is my beautiful wife, Debbie. My parents are taking a well-needed rest today, but we thank you for tuning in, and we're going to have a good discussion today. I've got a couple of guests. I've got Casey Van Norman, who is here. She is the author of the book Named by God, a wonderful book. I encourage you to check that out. And I've also got Joy and Tate Cruz, who are here, and they wrote a book about their son called Hope Transformed. Would you welcome them to Life Today? Now, if you didn't see the programs with them, I would encourage you to go to lifetoday.org and watch those programs as soon as this one's done. But there's a lot more here. I want to recap quickly. Casey has had a difficult pastor childhood, broken home, devolved into cutting and eating disorder and promiscuity. And God brought you back, and you went through another bout of difficult times that led to an attempted suicide.
Right.
And always God has brought you back and gone deeper with you and healed a lot of the original wounds. But more recently, as people might note by the hairstyle, that's not your choice. No, right? No. That's
although
a result.
It makes Sunday morning slot easier. It really does.
Yeah. Oh no, it's great. I love the short hair. Yeah. But you just survived a bout of chemo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So give us the short version of how that went and how you're doing.
I was having a routine procedure and 6 months ago, and the Lord led the surgeon to a tumor. They told me there was a tumor there. I never once gave it another thought. I just went on about my life and said, oh, it's nothing. It's, you know, benign something. And got the phone call 2 weeks after that it was, in fact, malignant and that there were some other lymph nodes involved. And I had follicular lymphoma. It's a case of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And so much like many people, when they get, I was listening to y'all's story, very similar in that you're just reeling that day and you just, it's like you're standing outside yourself looking in going, this doesn't happen to me. You know, this happens to other people. And and I had just been through this with my mom. I had just lost my mom only 2 years prior to cancer, of kind of a sister cancer of mine, another blood cancer. I was her caretaker during that time, and I had watched her suffer with this cancer, and it literally eat her body, you know, and the chemotherapy and all the things that they were putting in her body just, you know, gradually just tear her apart. And immediately you go to all those scenarios. Yeah. You go flashback to all those you know, moments with my mom and being with her. She took her last breath and going, wait a minute, I'm 31 years old. You know, this isn't where we're going. God, we just had all this restoration and healing and you know, this book's coming out and what you doing, you know?
Yeah. But you're in full remission,
you know,
now.
Yes, by so many prayers of so many people and by His will, you know, I am. I'm in complete remission after 4 chemotherapy treatments.
Now, yeah. I'm all for giving God the glory in that, and I'm very glad that you're doing well, okay? It's interesting, though, that the Cruises are here.
Yeah.
Because their story is one of prayers.
Right.
Of effort, of looking to glorify God through the situation. And over 4.5 years, from 4 to 8.5, 9, something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 4.5 to 8.
Connor battled cancer, thought he won, but it turns out the treatment that killed one cancer brought another cancer that took his life.
Right.
Yeah. How do you How do you feel when someone says, hey, I'm cancer-free, praise God, mm-hmm. my prayers worked?
Yeah, you know, at first it was kind of hard to swallow. I mean, because you're like, why did you answer their prayers but not ours? Mm-hmm. You know, did we not have enough faith? Mm-hmm. Did he love her more than he loved Connor? Mm-hmm. Did she you know, witness to people or talk to people more about God during the whole process? Did she help more people in the process?
Did she do the right things?
Did she tithe more?
Right.
Did she do the right things and we didn't?
The checklist. You know, we had the checklist on the prayers. We had the checklist on doing everything. And did, you know, and I think that's kind of the pitfall of where you can fall into is to believe those lies. You know, in reality, it's sovereignty. I remember thinking one day, you know, they always say it's by God's grace that someone was rescued. Oh, man, they were saved from that car accident. That's God's grace. Mm-hmm. She was, you know, healed from cancer. That's God's grace. Mm-hmm. But I think there's even how much more grace is poured out on our lives when we're not rescued mm-hmm. from the deepest pain or the biggest right. trial that we, you know, are going through. I think that's just when you experience God fully.
Mm-hmm. And you say that from experience.
From experience, mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm. You know, and I couldn't say that right away. Yeah. Right after Connor passed away. But I just know that we couldn't have survived. We couldn't have taken one more step to get out of our bed without God's grace fully enveloping us. Mm-hmm. And I remember telling somebody, you had this deep fear, like when Connor wasn't doing well, like, what's it gonna look like mm-hmm. if Connor passes away? How would mm-hmm. we survive that? Mm-hmm. But you imagine your deepest fear without imagining God walking you through it
right.
and carrying you through it. And so, in reality, when we walked through those dark days after Connor passed away, we felt his love pulling mm-hmm. us through it, carrying us through. It's almost like I felt like I had like a padded jacket on, mm-hmm. keeping me mm-hmm. just comforted and keeping all those things away from me and just getting me through each day and just keeping all those things from getting at me. And you can't imagine. So when you have those, when you worry about what could happen and your biggest fears and everything, and you imagining what it was going to be like if you had to go through what your mom did, right. you can't imagine it with God carrying you through it. Mm-hmm. You know, and so that was my message to people: don't be afraid.
Yeah,
I mean, you have this fear, but you can't imagine going through it with God's grace carrying you.
Your daughter read a scripture. Was it at Connor's funeral, or was it?
It was hours before Connor passed away.
Just before he passed away. What was mm-hmm. that scripture? Your 11-year-old daughter, I might add.
Yeah, at the time. Yeah. Well, we were all doing, like, reading Bible verses to him about heaven. But the one that she chose was when Jesus was praying, you know, take this cup from me, you know, and he said, not my will, but thy will be done.
Right.
And so she, even at 11 years old, realized it's God's will. Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's God's will that's most important, you know. And if Jesus struggled with that, and he had tears and pain, and he cried out to God. Mm-hmm. It made me feel more human, like it's okay that I'm hurting, and that I would cry out to him in frustration, like, did it have to be this way?
Yeah.
You know, isn't there a better plan than this?
Yeah. Mm.
I think there's a better plan, but in reality, it's his will and his sovereign yeah. plan. And I also dealt with a lot of guilt about did we do something wrong, or could we have done something better with yeah. the treatment? Yeah. But you know, the verse that says, you know, Connor's life was ordained before mm-hmm. he was born. Mm-hmm. And I know that God had a plan for him. And I see how God is still using Connor's life to touch people. Mm-hmm. And before we wrote the book and before Connor passed away, we said, you know, we're not going to write a book if Connor passes away, because that's a sad story. Mm-hmm. I mean, who is that really going to help? Mm-hmm. You know, but I see that there's an audience out there that needs to hear this message. Because where do you go when God yeah. says no?
Yeah.
What happens when you're devastated with God, when you have mm-hmm. prayed and you have believed and you've done the checklist like we did? Mm-hmm. What do those people do?
Yeah, we don't always get our prayers answered.
No,
yeah.
no.
Let me ask you this, Casey. Did you have some of the same questions that she's expressing here when you were diagnosed? Like, oh, what did I do? Oh, is this my sin coming back on me? What did you
yeah,
experience that
absolutely.
As an adult?
The big one, you hit it on the head there. Just, is this a consequence? Is my cancer a consequence of all my rebellion, of all my disobedience, and now this is my punishment?
Sure.
You know, and oh man, to be just in the bed reeling mm-hmm. from that, and what I've learned through that is that the right question is not why. You know, the question is not why, God, why did this happen to me? The right question is what? What do you want to do through this? Mm-hmm. What do you want to do through me in this? you know, and, you know, that was just to come to that place that God is sovereign. It is mm-hmm. His will. And although the scripture tells us that even prayer, you know, prayer can change the mind of God. And so you're going, okay, God, if prayer can really change your mind, right. you know, but ultimately this, His plan is so perfect, and it is so to make you more like the character of Christ, and it is so to make you more Connor's life and his story mm-hmm. and his legacy, making them more like Christ. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I just want to briefly say that I can't fathom, mm-hmm. and y'all are heroes, and the legacy that this little boy is leaving is ministering to me, you know, at the age mm-hmm. of 32 with my children, mm-hmm. to just every moment with them is precious. But one thing that God brought to me in the midst of chemo, and will continue because my type of cancer is not curable, and I'll actually fight this for the rest of my life. It's not a curable cancer, and so I'll have treatments for the rest of my life. But that healing, ultimate healing, mm-hmm. is to be with Christ. Mm-hmm. And for us to get it reversed, you know, is to miss the abundance of living now. Mm-hmm. You know, and it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense, yeah. you know, but to miss what we could be living now yeah. because we're doubting and we're asking the why,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah. What, how does it strike you when you hear someone like that say, despite the loss of your son, through your pain, mm-hmm. God's ministering to me?
Right. Well, throughout when Connor was sick and then after his death, I've always said it's a dark valley because you have your old normal, Connor being with us or Connor being sick. And then you get kind of on the adrenaline high of fighting, because then we had to come off the adrenaline of fighting and we didn't have any fight anymore. So you really have this new normal going forward. And I've always said it's a dark valley. You don't know what's to the left. You don't know what's to the right. You can't go back to healthy Connor or healthy. Mm-hmm. And really, you have to go forward. And the only way you go forward is with believers pushing you through and really Christ walking along with you. And that's the only way you go through. So every morning I would get up, and if I could see the sunrise, I was good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, wake up in prayer. But how do you get through it? You bond to, mm-hmm. I had to bond to joy. I mean, because there's an 88% divorce rate. And it's faith, family, and friends. You just mm-hmm. keep going back to that. I mean, mm-hmm. otherwise you have nothing. And you get real pure. You boil it down to the organic matter that it is, and it's faith, family, and friends.
You know, and when she said that, somebody had written me an email that they'd given their book to a coworker, and he came in her office and he shut the door and he said, you know, I read Hope Transformed last night, and I've always believed in religion, but I didn't get it. And this book has changed my life, and I'm mm-hmm. buying for everyone in my mm-hmm. family. Mm-hmm. And I emailed her back. It was actually the ghostwriter. And I emailed her back and said, I'm typing this as tears are streaming down my face mm. because I realize that God is still using Connor's
yeah,
life.
Absolutely.
And that is more rewarding to me. That's healing to me. That I've kind of claimed the verse, and all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His mm-hmm. purpose, Romans 8:28, as my theme verse since Connor passed away. I just have to believe that God can use even this,
yeah.
even this for good. And so that's how, when you tell me that,
yeah.
It brings back that faith. I'm trying to really trust wholly in God again. I'm working on that every day, baby steps.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me believe, okay, He can do this. Yeah. He can use it for good.
Absolutely.
So thank you.
Absolutely.
How are your other children doing since?
You know, it's been a struggle. Mackenzie, the oldest one, she's just, she gives all the right answers, so hopefully she believes everything that she says. You know, she's strong. She's
independent. So, became very independent.
I see God working on her life. I think, Carson is the one that was closest to Connor, who's a year younger, and he struggled
depression.
So much. Depression. He had a lot of counseling, and I just pray every day that God can use even this
mm-hmm.
for his
mm-hmm.
good, and he's using it to mold him into who he is. I met with Chris Tomlin's producer, and he lost his sister to cancer at a young age, and he said, it made me who I am today.
Mm-hmm.
It molded me into that, and I'm like, that's what I'm praying for Carson.
And then our Mason, who was born into this, into the chaos,
sure.
he was born a day before we went into the 64 days of bone marrow transplant. So we literally had him and threw him to her mother-in-law. I mean, we didn't hold that child for weeks. Mm-hmm. Angry.
He's anxious. He's
anxious, very anxious, untrusting, just...
kind of a control freak, because he just had lack of control because we were gone so much for Connor's treatments.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a revolving door of people taking care of him.
Mm-hmm.
So it was...
Have you had to try to maybe since losing Connor, try to maybe compensate for some of the lost time with the others?
Yeah. Try to feed that insecurity. You know what I mean? I mean, try to feed it with love and security and foundation, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was funny. I remember it was the first Thanksgiving after Connor passed away, and my kids were having a lot of issues dealing with this grief and this loss. And I remember crying out to God going, I thought this was going to get easier. Our focus had been on Connor's physical healing and physical health. Mm-hmm. And now I'm looking at my children and they have emotional problems. Mm-hmm. I mean, that they had to get through in depression. And I'm like, God, I thought this was going to get easier. White flag, like Tate said, I went white flag. Ticket has been punched. I'm sure that's whatever you thought. Yeah. My ticket's been punched. I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. Let someone else play the game. I want to sit on the bench.
Take me out, coach, because I'm done.
Yeah. I think Casey can tell you as much as anyone that it's not just the outward and the symptomatic. It's the root issues. Yeah, the healing that's got to go all the way to the core.
Absolutely. Right.
To make the difference. Mm-hmm. Briefly, you talk about people in the church, and as you're going through these struggles, what should people say to you during this time?
Well, it's interesting. When Connor was diagnosed, I had three interactions within a day. The first one was, we'll go to this prayer garden, and you walk in on this prayer garden, and he'll be healed. Okay. The other one said, well, it's already been determined, so whether you pray or not, God's made his mind up. I'm like, but Nehemiah kind of, I think prayers were commanded to pray. And then one of them comes and say, go take them, and Mother Earth will restore them with sheep and baby lambs and chicks. And I was like, no.
This is your church? I don't know what
you're talking about. No. Yeah. This is the community.
Oh, okay.
And so what happens is whether it's, and it's all with best interest, but at the end of the day, they don't know what to say because what do you say to a sick child or a sick mother? What do you say when life punches you right between the eyes? It's a sucker punch.
Yeah.
And I would say a lot of times just be quiet and let them know that you're there to help. I mean, we have friends in the audience that picked up dry cleaning, took our kids to school. Mm-hmm. I mean, our house was never locked. Help and serve in action.
Action. Action, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Actions speak louder than words.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Just knowing you care. Like, I don't know what you're going through. I can't fathom, but I just want to know I'm there for you. And I want to listen to you and I want to pray for you. And how can I support you and serve you? You know, that's what I try when I talk to other families who are losing their child. Their child is dying from cancer. Yeah. Even just struggling. Like, you know, it's hard, I know. And I just want to be here to listen.
But people say the strangest things. I had one person say, my dog had cancer. I understand. I'm like, No, you don't. So they need to be quiet and just serve.
Yeah, all right.
Don't say it's okay. It's okay. It's going to be okay. And really, cancer or any other trauma that happens in your life, you don't know. It's not okay. In that moment, it's not okay. It's not meant to be okay because your fate is intended to be constantly changing and molding into the character of Christ. And that always happens in those pains and trials of life. That's the only time it happens. It's not meant to be okay. So don't say you understand, even though you may have been through, I got that a lot,
From other cancer survivors,
I understand what you're going through. And in a way, yes, there's empathy. There's certainly empathy. There's certainly compassion. But understanding of my cancer with my chemo and how I have felt, you don't have. Yeah. And so, I mean, I think just what you said, just action. And one of the biggest blessings in my life was people that prayed in the moment that they said they would pray for me. Because it's very easy to say, I've done it myself. I'm guilty. I'll pray for you and have every intention of doing so. And then you get caught up and you forget to pray for that person. Mm-hmm. And some of the, what spoke volumes to me and touched my heart in the midst of that trial was when people would just pray. Right. It didn't have to be, any kind of big prayer or, formal prayer. It was just touching me and letting that spirit just speak power.
And doing
into
it
my
right
spirit.
Then.
Doing
Not
it then.
It off.
No. Yeah, yeah, doing it then.
Not saying you're going to do it. Maybe you'll do it later, but doing it right now.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thanks, you guys, for sharing your story. I want to show our viewers something because what they just said is the secret to it all. Actions speak louder than words. Mm-hmm. And don't say you'll do it later. Say you'll do it now. You have an opportunity right now to save children's lives. You can impact people with the love of Jesus Christ right now. Go with me to Cambodia. I want to show you something. I want to show you an amazing opportunity, and I want to invite you to join us on this mission we call Water for Life. Watch this. look at this water. Good Lord. Ah, it smells horrible. It smells worse than it looks. But this is what they drink because this is all they have to drink. This is not water that you can live from. This is water that will kill you. You know, I have seen diseases. I have seen children with sores and kids have diarrhea. I've seen graves. I've sat with a mother while she wept over her children that she lost because of this contaminated water. This is death water, and it's killing their children. I would never make a child drink this, but these children have no choice. It's this or nothing, and some of them don't know that it will kill them. It's not enough to tell them, don't drink the water. We have to say, here's water you can drink. Jesus calls himself living water because he brings life. We are his hands and his feet. Help us demonstrate the gospel as we bring them water for life. You know, there's not much better in this world than to see a child smile. And when you know that they're smiling because you joined with us in Mission Water for Life and made that fresh, clean drinking water possible, I tell you what, that's a feeling. There's just not much in this world that's better than that. That's the invitation I want to extend to you right now. Join with us on Mission Water for Life. You can impact a life for their lifetime. It's a gift that just keeps on giving. The average well is $4,800, and that reaches an average of 1,000 people. I know in that village I was in, there were more than 1,000 in that area that would come to that well to get clean drinking water, but on average, that's what it does. So your gift of $4,800 will reach 1,000 people. You will give them clean drinking water. What a huge thing. You will eradicate sickness, and you will show them the love of Jesus Christ wherever we go. We're not shy about the fact that we are there representing Jesus Christ. We are his hands, we are his feet. That's what the Bible tells us. I want you to do that right now. If you can give $1,200, we'll send you the lion and lamb bronze that will serve as a reminder of your gift. And I hope you will put it somewhere that you can see it and you will remember the smile that you saw, because you're putting smiles on other children's faces. Now, some of you, you know, that's a lot of money, I understand. I want you to know that there's not a gift that's too big, but there's not a gift that's too small. $48 will give water to 10 people. How simple is that? It's simple, and yet the impact is profound. And so long, it just keeps on giving. And that's the thing that just astounds me, is how a simple act of drilling a water well has such an incredible impact for years and generations. Will you join us right now? Will you go to the phone, call us, make the best gift you can? It's all about obeying God's great commission to go out and reach others. So don't get hung up on what you can or can't give. Just obey God and join with us in this great mission. Go online. There's the website right there. That's how I give. Do what you can. If we will all join together, we will reach our goal. Hundreds of wells in so many countries, impacting so many lives. But we can't do it without you. Join us now. Join us in Mission Water for Life. And thank you as you give.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 350 new water wells for remote villages in 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people, $72 will impact 15 people, and $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Arise, a beautiful new daily devotional featuring words of encouragement from inspiring women who have shared their faith on life today. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Arise audio-visual devotional featuring 40 days of inspiration from Life Today's favorite women guests. Please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request the 2012 commemorative bronze sculpture, The Lion and the Lamb. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
I want to thank you for supporting Water for Life right now. Your gift is going to just keep on giving. And if you can't do it right this second, please write it down. Write down the phone number or just lifetoday.org and you can do it later. Also, I want to mention, if you want to know more about Casey Van Norman, visit caseyvannorman.com. There's the URL. And if you want to learn more about Team Connor, teamconnor.org, you can check that out as well. And as always, I really appreciate you guys being here. Thank you so much. Would you thank them for being here on Life Today and opening up and telling your story? I really appreciate it. And I appreciate you for watching Life Today.
Faith, family, and freedom are under attack. James Robison and Jay Richards encourage a divided America to stand together before it's too late. Indivisible, now available in paperback at online and retail bookstores. If you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, come be a part of the Life Today studio audience. Call or email today to reserve your tickets. You'll be inspired and entertained. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.